Go ahead and turn to the book of James chapter 1. And this is something I've been doing in my class. You know, a few weeks ago we started a young adult class, and we're going through the book of James. The book of James is a very challenging book. Got a lot of life applications in this book. And what I've been doing, I'm not going to do this morning to you folks, but I have interaction with my class, and we begin to discuss some things. And Caitlin came over this morning. She goes, Chad, are we having class? I said, no, we're going to have it here, but we're going to continue what we're doing. And what you folks don't know, they have a homework assignment that they got to give to me. And I said, don't worry, Caitlin, you don't have to talk in front of the class today. So anyway, they have a homework assignment, and we'll get to that next week. But the book of James is a great book for us to go through and to learn a lot of things for our lives. So before we get reading, let's have a word of prayer. And let's ask God, as I pray out loud, ask God to, as I ask for you to pray quietly, and ask God to speak to your heart this morning. Ask him to show you something that you've never seen before, and we trust that you will be blessed through this. Our Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this day that you've given us. You've given us another opportunity to serve you, to worship you, to praise you, to bring glory and honor to you. God, I pray that we would do that today, and not just today, but we would do it every single day that you give us. It is a privilege to be a child of you. It is a privilege to be amongst other believers in this church. It's a privilege to open up your word and to be able to learn of the truths that you have for us. So God, I pray as we go through your word today in James that you would begin to use me to be a voice for you, to be able to teach your word. God, I know that I'm a simple man. You know that, God. You know that better than anybody. But God, I pray that you just use me to glorify you. And we ask you these things. Amen. We're going to read the first 12 verses of the book of James here. And let's begin in verse number 1. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Now, we began to talk about the word servant here a few weeks ago and began to give different definitions of the word servant. And one of the words that came out kind of caught me off guard, and there's a lot of truth to this. And we kind of laughed at this, but the word came out for butler. And butler is a term for somebody who is serving their master. And James here recognizes that he is a servant to God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the unique thing about this verse here is James is also known as the half-brother of Jesus Christ. So now that he's his brother, but now he recognizes that he is a servant of the Lord. So why am I parking here just for a little bit? Because I want us to understand that you and I, if you're his child, you're his servant. You're here to serve him. And that is our goal here on this earth. So let's continue to read on here. At the end of this verse, it says, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Goes on in verse number 2, it says, my brethren, he's addressing these people, says, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Man, what just a few impactful verses that we just read here in the book of James. And so we're going to go on and we're going to try to dissect this a little bit and see what James is meaning here. First off, we see that our faith is going to be tested. Our faith is going to be tested. And I'm going to follow up with this statement. If you're his son, God has the right to test your faith. Plain and simple. He has that right because you're his. But it's often during those times of our trials when our faith is tested, so often many folks will walk away from God himself. They will say, I'm not going to allow myself to go through this. I don't want to put up with this type of nonsense. That's the thought process in some folks. You're thinking it. I'm saying it out loud. And some folks, they don't want to do those things. And so during that time of their faith being tested, they'll say, thanks, God, but no thanks. I think I have a better plan. I think I have a better way. And so I'm going to pursue what I think's better for me. And so by doing so, they put God on a shelf. They leave him in the back room. They're done with him, and they walk along their life. And during that time is a time of great sorrow and a time of great pain as well. So our faith is tested. So that being said, you and I, we will face trials. How many's faced trials this week? A lot of hands going up. You know, I faced trials this week. In the next hour to come, I'm going to share with you a trial that I faced. In the past few weeks that I have not been happy with it. I really haven't been encouraged with it, to be honest with you. I've struggled with it. But the fact of the matter is we face trials, and that's a testing of our faith. Diverse temptation means many, many temptations. We don't know how, we don't know when, or we don't know where, but count on it, we will face those trials. We will face our faith being tempted. So when we come across those situations in life, what does the Word of God say about how we are to handle it? Well, the answer is right here in verse number 2. As he begins to address these 12 tribes, he says, my brethren, count it all joy. Okay, with that being said, I probably had about 15, maybe 20 hands that were raised saying that they faced trials this week. But out of those hands that were raised, how many of you counted it joy? We don't look at it like that. Because our natural reaction when we face those trials, we begin to look upon ourselves and we get down a little bit. And we get discouraged. We get frustrated. But let's be honest, we don't count it joy. Well, the Word of God says here, plain and simple from James, what are we to do? Count it all joy. That's how we're to handle things. You know, and I'm not saying, hey, man, I'm so thankful I broke my leg this week. Yeah. Glory to God, you're awesome. As you're thriving in pain and your leg's throbbing all over the place and all those things. But in that sense, you can think, okay, I broke my leg, but I still have another leg that I can use that can help me get around. That's counting it joy. That's looking at the positive. That's not looking at the negative of things. So as we begin to have those trials, as our faith is being tested, and we might not understand it, and I'll get that to here in a little bit, to help us understand why our faith is being tested, we are to count it all joy. And it won't always be pleasant, but we are to look for the good in every situation. Look for the good in every situation. I want to be honest with you. A lot of you folks have seen me growing up in this church. Some of you remember when I was born. Some of you remember me when I was just a lad. You remember those things about me. But I have not always been a joyous person, and I have not always been a pleasant person. I haven't looked for those things in those situations. I've been down on some things, and I become negative in those things, and that's not how I am to act. So as we move on, as the Bible says, to count it all joy, there's a question that should be asked by every individual that goes through these things. Now, everyone goes through their life with their faith being tested. Should I go to church? Should I get and go to I shouldn't go to church? Things of those nature. Should I go to visitation? I shouldn't go to visitation. You know, our faith is being tested. So as you begin to go along in your life with this, the best question that you should ask or you need to ask when going through this time is ask God this question. God, what is it that you want me to learn from this situation? Obviously, you're allowing me to go through this because you're wanting to grow me. You're wanting me to mature in you. And so as I go through this, God, would you please begin to reveal what you want me to learn in my life? I tell you what, when you ask that question, that situation that you are going through, I'll be honest with you, because I've done this, it feels like the weight has been lifted off of my shoulders. And then you become totally dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The biggest lesson that I learned 4 or 5 years ago with our pastor going through what he went through was this lesson. Stop doubting my goodness. That's what I learned. Stop doubting my goodness and put your faith in me and not yourself. See, that's huge for me to learn because I want to control every situation. But I can't control every situation. And so I begin to learn, God, I need your help. That lesson for me is huge. Because I learned that I need to depend upon God during those trials, during that time when my faith is being tested. Because obviously God had to show me something that I needed to learn. And as you go through your time of faith being tested, God is wanting to show you that you still, too, need to learn something from Him. Every time that we open up the Word of God, we shouldn't read it just to read it to soothe our conscience, but we should read it so that we learn something from His Word. Every single time. And that should be our desire to do those things. So ask God, God, what is it? What are you trying to show me? Where you want me to increase my faith in you? Where am I doubting you in this situation? How much closer do you want me to grow towards you? That's in the book of James 2. You probably won't be around for that class, but my class will be, and we'll deal with that. So ask God, what do you want me to learn? You know, learning is hard for me. It truly is. I'm a slow learner. It takes a lot for me to get to where I'm at. But that doesn't stop me from trying to educate myself in the Word of God. Matter of fact, I have found it more, the more that I get involved, the more God helps me. And never decrease your desire for learning, but you should always wanting to increase. God, what do you want me to learn? So as we begin to move on from here, God will test our faith through trials and not temptations. I'm going to give you a list of 6 reasons why we should count it joy when we go through these trials. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 5. Book of Matthew chapter number 5. You know, as I read through the Bible, I just finished up the Old Testament here about a month ago. And, you know, the Old Testament is filled with a lot of death, a lot of gruesome stuff. And I get excited when I get into the New Testament. I was like, oh, yes, something refreshing here. But I love being in a New Testament here. But here are six reasons why we should count it all joy. One is because of Christ's precepts command to rejoice. Matthew 5, verse number 10, and we'll read down to verse number 12. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sakes, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. The second reason that we are to rejoice, to count it all joy, is because of God's promises that we just read here. The third reason why we need to rejoice, because Christ's prophets who also suffered. Number four, Christ's praise and glory when we suffer. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 in this passage here. 1 Peter chapter number 1. I'm trying to keep you in the New Testament this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 7, it says, and to godliness, I am in the wrong part, I'm in 2 Peter, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Go ahead and turn to 1 Peter chapter number 4 and verse number 13. The fifth reason is because of his partaking in suffering. Chapter 4, verse number 13, but rejoice in so much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. The sixth reason will be because Christ's preachers who rejoice to be counted worthy to suffer for him. Turn your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter number 5. Acts chapter number 5, if you're still with me, say amen. Acts chapter 5, verse number 41, it says, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. That's worthy of reading again. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. So those are the six reasons why you and I should rejoice as our faith is being tempted, as we go through trials and things of that nature. So you might ask yourself a question, what's the purpose of this? What's the purpose of this? And I'm so glad you asked that, because I'm going to give you an answer. Verse number 3 of the book of James. Let's go ahead and turn back there. Verse number 3, here's the purpose. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith, say it with me, worketh patience. The reason why we go through these things is to teach us patience. You know, you and I are not born with patience. We're not. And this reason for us to go through these trials here, our faith is being tested, is to teach us patience. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not a patient person. I'm not. I went fishing here last Friday. Had a great time. And that taught me a lot of patience. It truly did. Because the other individual I went with was catching fish like you wouldn't believe. And here I am going throughout the pond from 1 o'clock almost to about 7 o'clock that night. Still empty. Still empty. I caught a half a fish before that. And you're saying, what do you mean you caught half a fish? Well, as I began to reel it up, I got it halfway up and it fell off. So I caught half a fish. I tell you what, when you're going fishing, you need to learn to be patient. You truly do. You don't know where the fish are at. You don't know what bait they're going to bite on. You don't know what lure they're going to that's going to catch their eye. But it's going to be patient. You got to learn to be patient. But I will tell you this. Even though hours might pass from when you first get out there, And you're growing impatient, you're getting concerned, you're getting frustrated, and you cast that line out there one more time, and guess what happens? That fish takes that bait, you got that fish on a line, and what happens? You're thinking to yourself, it was well worth the wait. It is. It's well worth the wait. The purpose of our faith being tested is to teach us patience. We aren't born with it, but it's something that we learned to get through the testings of our faith. It's through these trials. And again, we don't know how many trials we'll receive in our life. And I'm going to say this. As we're going through that, we don't know how long they're going to be. We don't know how long they're going to last. We don't know when it's going to end. But I will say this to you to give you some encouragement. God is with you. God is with you through those times. And God wants you to see Him being with you during those times. But so often when we're going through that, we begin to ask ourselves questions. God, why did you leave me? God, why did you abandon me? And my response to that is, God has never left us. God has never abandoned us. It is we who leave Him. It is we who abandon Him at times. But God is always with us. And He wants us to see Him during those times. Now again, to the people who raised your hands this week about going through the trials, how many of us realized that God's with us? And how many of us during that time see God through that time? We need to see Him through those times. In Him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Man, what just a few impactful verses that we just read here in the book of James. And so we're going to go on and we're going to try to dissect this a little bit and see what James is meaning here. First off, we see that our faith is going to be tested. Our faith is going to be tested. And I'm going to follow up with this statement. If you're His son, God has the right to test your faith. Plain and simple. He has that right because you're His. But it's often during those times of our trials when our faith is tested, so often many folks will walk away from God Himself. They will say, I'm not going to allow myself to go through this. I don't want to put up with this type of nonsense. That's the thought process in some folks. You're thinking it. I'm saying it out loud. And some folks, they don't want to do those things. And so during that time of their faith being tested, they'll say, thanks God, but no thanks. I think I have a better plan. I think I have a better way. And so I'm going to pursue what I think's better for me. And so by doing so, they put God on a shelf. They leave Him in the back room. They're done with Him, and they walk along their life. And during that time is a time of great sorrow and a time of great pain as well. So our faith is tested. So that being said, you and I, we will face trials. How many's faced trials this week? A lot of hands going up. You know, I faced trials this week. In the next hour to come, I'm going to share with you a trial that I faced. In the past few weeks that I have not been happy with it. I really haven't been encouraged with it, to be honest with you. I've struggled with it. But the fact of the matter is we face trials, and that's a testing of our faith. Diverse temptation means many, many temptations. We don't know how, we don't know when, or we don't know where, but count on it, we will face those trials, we will face our faith being tempted. So when we come across those situations in life, what does the Word of God say about how we are to handle it? Well, the answer is right here in verse number 2. As he begins to address these 12 tribes, he says, "My brethren, count it all joy." Okay, with that being said, I probably had about 15, maybe 20 hands that were raised saying that they faced trials this week. But out of those hands that were raised, how many of you counted it joy? We don't look at it like that. Because our natural reaction when we face those trials, we begin to look upon ourselves and we get down a little bit. And we get discouraged. We get frustrated. But let's be honest, we don't count it joy. Well, the Word of God says here, plain and simple from James, what are we to do? Count it all joy. That's how we're to handle things. You know, and I'm not saying, hey, man, I'm so thankful I broke my leg this week. Yeah. Glory to God, you're awesome. As you're thriving in pain and your leg's throbbing all over the place and all those things. But in that sense, you can think, okay, I broke my leg, but I still have another leg that I can use that can help me get around. That's counting a joy. That's looking at the positive. That's not looking at the negative of things. So as we begin to have those trials, as our faith is being tested, and we might not understand it, and I'll get that to here in a little bit, to help us understand why our faith is being tested, we are to count it all joy. And it won't always be pleasant, but we are to look for the good in every situation. Look for the good in every situation. I want to be honest with you. A lot of you folks have seen me growing up in this church. Some of you remember when I was born. Some of you remember me when I was just a lad. You remember those things about me. But I have not always been a joyous person, and I have not always been a pleasant person. I haven't looked for those things in those situations. I've been down on some things, and I become negative in those things, and that's not how I am to act. So as we move on, as the Bible says, to count it all joy, there's a question that should be asked by every individual that goes through these things. Now, everyone goes through their life with their faith being tested. Should I go to church? I shouldn't go to church. Things of those nature. Should I go to visitation? I shouldn't go to visitation. You know, our faith is being tested. So as you begin to go along in your life with this, the best question that you should ask or you need to ask when going through this time is ask God this question. God, what is it that you want me to learn from this situation? Obviously, you're allowing me to go through this because you're wanting to grow me. You're wanting me to mature in you. And so as I go through this, God, would you please begin to reveal what you want me to learn in my life? I tell you what, when you ask that question, that situation that you are going through, I'll be honest with you, because I've done this, it feels like the weight has been lifted off of my shoulders. And then you become totally dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The biggest lesson that I learned 4 or 5 years ago with our pastor going through what he went through was this lesson. Stop doubting my goodness. That's what I learned. Stop doubting my goodness and put your faith in me and not yourself. See, that's huge for me to learn because I want to control every situation. But I can't control every situation. And so I begin to learn, God, I need your help. That lesson for me is huge. Because I learned that I need to depend upon God during those trials, during that time when my faith is being tested. Because obviously God had to show me something that I needed to learn. And as you go through your time of faith being tested, God is wanting to show you that you still, too, need to learn something from Him. Every time that we open up the Word of God, we shouldn't read it just to read it to soothe our conscience, but we should read it so that we learn something from His Word. Every single time. And that should be our desire to do those things. So ask God, God, what is it? What are you trying to show me? Where you want me to increase my faith in you? Where am I doubting you in this situation? How much closer do you want me to grow towards you? That's in the book of James 2. Well, you probably won't be around for that class, but my class will be, and we'll deal with that. So ask God, what do you want me to learn? You know, learning is hard for me. It truly is. I'm a slow learner. It takes a lot for me to get to where I'm at. But that doesn't stop me from trying to educate myself in the Word of God. Matter of fact, I have found it more. The more that I get involved, the more God helps me. And never decrease your desire for learning, but you should always wanting to increase. God, what do you want me to learn? So as we begin to move on from here, God will test our faith through trials and not temptations. I'm going to give you a list of 6 reasons why we should count it joy when we go through these trials. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 5. Book of Matthew chapter number 5. You know, as I read through the Bible, I just finished up the Old Testament here about a month ago. And, you know, the Old Testament is filled with a lot of death, a lot of gruesome stuff. And I get excited when I get into the New Testament. I was like, oh, yes, something refreshing here. But I love being in the New Testament here. But here are six reasons? Yeah, 6 reasons why we should count it all joy. One is because of Christ's precepts command to rejoice. Matthew 5, verse number 10, and we'll read down through verse number 12. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sakes, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. The second reason that we are to rejoice, to count it all joy, is because of God's promises that we just read here. The third reason why we need to rejoice, because Christ's prophets who also suffered. Number 4, Christ's praise and glory when we suffer. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 in this passage here. 1 Peter chapter number 1. I'm trying to keep you in the New Testament this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 7, it says, and to godliness, I am in the wrong part, I'm in 2 Peter, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Go ahead and turn to 1 Peter chapter number 4 and verse number 13. The fifth reason is because of his partaking in suffering. Chapter 4, verse number 13. But rejoice in so much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. The sixth reason will be because Christ's preachers who rejoice to be counted worthy to suffer for him. Turn your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter number 5. Acts, chapter number 5. If you're still with me, say amen. Acts, chapter 5, verse number 41. It says, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. That's worthy of reading again. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. So those are the six reasons why you and I should rejoice as our faith is being tempted, as we go through trials and things of that nature. So you might ask yourself a question, what's the purpose of this? What's the purpose of this? And I'm so glad you asked that, because I'm going to give you an answer. Verse number 3 of the book of James. Let's go ahead and turn back there. Verse number 3. Here's the purpose. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith, say it with me, worketh patience. The reason why we go through these things is to teach us patience. You know, you and I are not born with patience. We're not. And this reason for us to go through these trials here, our faith is being tested, is to teach us patience. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not a patient person. I'm not. I went fishing here last Friday. Had a great time. And that taught me a lot of patience. It truly did. Because the other individual I went with was catching fish like you wouldn't believe. And here I am, going throughout the pond from 1 o'clock almost to about 7 o'clock that night. Still empty. Still empty. I caught a half a fish before that. And you're saying, what do you mean you caught half a fish? Well, as I began to reel it up, I got it halfway up and it fell off. So I caught half a fish. But I tell you what, when you're going fishing, you need to learn to be patient. You truly do. You don't know where the fish are at. You don't know what bait they're going to bite on. You don't know what lure they're going to that's going to catch their eye. But it's going to be patient. You got to learn to be patient. But I will tell you this. Even though hours might pass from when you first get out there, and you're growing impatient, you're getting concerned, you're getting frustrated, and you cast that line out there one more time, and guess what happens? That fish takes that bait. You got that fish on the line, and what happens? You're thinking to yourself, it was well worth the wait. It is. It's well worth the wait. The purpose of our faith being tested is to teach us patience. We aren't born with it, but it's something that we learned to get through the testings of our faith. It's through these trials. And again, we don't know how many trials we'll receive in our life. And I'm going to say this. As we're going through that, we don't know how long they're going to be. We don't know how long they're going to last. We don't know when it's going to end. But I will say this to you to give you some encouragement. God is with you. God is with you through those times. And God wants you to see him being with you during those times. But so often when we're going through that, we begin to ask ourselves questions. God, why did you leave me? God, why did you abandon me? And my response to that is, God has never left us. God has never abandoned us. It is we who leave him. It is we who abandon him at times. But God is always with us. And he wants us to see him during those times. Now again, to the people who raised your hands this week about going through the trials, how many of us realized that God's with us? And how many of us during that time see God through that time? We need to see him through those times. And count it all joy as we go through those. Patience is one of the fruit of the Spirit that we read about in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 22. But again, in verse number 3, our faith will be tried. So I'm going to try and give you something to help you as we go through that time of testing. Don't allow yourself to become bitter. Don't allow yourself to become angry. But instead, during this process, allow yourself to draw closer to God and allow yourself to be more intimate with Him and allow yourself to have your relationship grow with Him. So don't become bitter, don't become angry, but that's what a lot of people do. God, why'd you do this to me? God, why'd you abandon me? God, why'd you forget about me? Why are you allowing this? Because I am your God, and I have the right to test your faith. With that being said, count it a privilege that God wants to use you. Count it a privilege that He wants to use you. You're His. You're His. Count it all joy. God, I'm your child. Thank you so much for picking me. Thank you so much for allowing me to go through this with you. But I'm going to give you a thought. As you go through those things, reach out to God and ask Him for one thing. God, give me the grace to get through this. Give me the grace to get through this. So don't allow yourself to become bitter. Don't allow yourself to become angry. But allow yourself to learn to grow closer to God during His times. Your patience, because you learn patience, doesn't mean you'll be perfect. It doesn't mean that. This means, however, that you are becoming more of a mature believer in Him. And believe me, every single one of us has room to grow in Christ. Every single one of us has room to become more mature in Him. You've heard it from Pastor himself. Been in the ministry for 48 years here at this church. And he'll tell you from the pulpit, as he has it many times, I don't know everything. I don't know everything. So we all need to grow and mature in Him. What are you saying? Well, what I'm saying is we should want nothing else but God Himself. I have seen people's faith being tested on many different occasions. You got to understand, I grew up in this church. I've been around a long time. I've seen a lot of people grow closer to God, but I've also seen people walk away from God. I've seen people stay faithful to God, growing, staying attentive to church. There are some that I have never seen their faces ever again. They've walked away. Why? Because they decided, I want more. Our desire should be wanting God and only God. And that's where we need to be in our life. Well, as we begin to go on in verse number 5, we see here, I told our class here a couple weeks ago, don't expect to get out of the book of James in the next year. We've only covered a few verses here. So class, pay attention, because next week we'll have a lot of review. So in verse number 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So the words here are not mentioned, but it says if you lack wisdom, it says ask of God. So that is a form of a prayer. Prayer is very helpful during our times of trials and times of our faith being tested. And so as we begin to go through these things, I've had you ask a question, God, what is it that you want me to learn? How do you want me to grow? The second thing is, God's wanting us to have more wisdom during these things. And so a lot of us lack wisdom in areas because we don't ask for wisdom. I wish this verse would have really hit me when I was a young man going through school. I do, because, again, I'm not the smartest crayon in the pencil box. You'll get that later. But I'm a few fries short of a Happy Meal, if that helps you out any. But anyway, Folks, it's okay to laugh a little bit or say amen. But we need to ask for wisdom. What does wisdom do for us? Wisdom gives us the ability to understand that God has a purpose and a plan. That's what wisdom does for us. Gives us a purpose to understand that he has a plan for us. So we need to ask for wisdom. You know what the world's asking for? Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 19. What the world is seeking here is earthly, worldly wisdom. I'm going to show you where we go wrong in this area. Verse number 19 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, "For the wisdom of this world is," say it with me, "foolishness with God. For it is written, he that taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain." The problem that we have with so many folks is they're trying to have the earthly, the worldly wisdom instead of seeking spiritual, godly wisdom. That's the type of wisdom I believe that James is telling us here in verse number 5 to ask for. Is to ask for heavenly wisdom, spiritual wisdom, not the earthly wisdom. Because what's God say about it? Worldly wisdom is foolishness. Foolishness. So we need to ask God for wisdom as we begin to go through these things. And it will help us to see it the way God sees it. Wisdom, as we continue to go on, is trusting in God through the trials that we can't comprehend. Again, let me ask you a question. The ones that raised their hands, and I know there's probably more that didn't raise their hands, I get that. But as you went through your trials this past week or past couple weeks, have you comprehended it? Do you understand it? Well, if you don't, here's the answer. Ask God for wisdom to give you the ability to see it the way God sees it. And that's what we need to do in our life. See it the way God sees it. God will grant wisdom to those who ask for it, but we are to ask for it in faith. And as we ask for it in faith, as we read here, verse number 6, it says, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways." We are to ask in faith, and as we ask in faith, do not waver from our faith in him. Again, I can't stress this enough. And I know you've been listening to me for a while now. I can't stress this enough. But we are to grow closer to God during these times. It's not a time for us to walk away. It's not a time for us to put God in the shelf and somewhere in the room that we don't want to touch for the next 20 days or maybe 20 years in some folks' life. Stay true to your faith in God. Some might say, "Well, Chad, I don't know what you're talking about, faith." I'll help you understand that even more the next hour. So when we are waver, we are tossed to and fro. We are to keep our faith, we are to never doubt, and not be double-minded. A believer should be stable in his walk with the Lord. Are we always going to be stable? No. But we're going to try to remain stable. The best way I can explain it, as our children are born, they begin to grow up, obviously, we know that. Follow the science on that one. But anyway, as our kids are born, they begin to walk. And I don't know if you paid attention to your kids and they're beginning to learn how to walk, but what do you notice about them? They're all wobbly and unstable. And so what we try to do as parents during those times, we try to teach them and help them to become stable in their walk so that they would begin to walk around freely without tripping or falling over their and getting sores and all those things. It's funny to watch these kids as they begin to take off. I've watched it in my own daughter's life. I've watched it in my own nephew's and niece's life. They think they have it, and they think that they come to this place of stability, and they take off, and all of a sudden, they take a dive. I can't help but laugh during those times. It's funny to watch little kids fall, and they now you guys laugh. Thank you. Just wait when you fall. I'm going to laugh. No, it is. It's kind of comical because they don't get hurt normally. And yeah, they get scraped up a little bit, and they start crying all of a sudden, but mom and dad comes over, and they calm them down, and they start right back up again. But we continue to teach them, hey, you need to be stable. Take small steps. Work into it. You know, the Word of God is teaching us to be stable and in our faith. You know, we might be a little wobbly at times, but we are to try every single day to be stable. Stable in our faith. And that's important for us to understand those things. And then I'm going to close here in verse number 9. I'm not even close to getting done here. But we are to keep our eyes on the eternal. It talks about the rich man here. It talks about his desire and what he wants. It's not about, again, seeking the wealth of this world. It's not about seeking the wisdom of this world. We need to keep our eyes on the eternal, and that's God himself. And I hope and pray that this has been helpful for you, and I pray that you'll be able to go back throughout this day and begin to contemplate on the things that were said. But as we close with this, I'm going to say this thought once again. Why is my faith being tested? Why do I go through these trials? Because you're his child. Plain and simple. And he's doing these things to grow us. He's doing those things. I just use the illustration of the baby falling as they try to walk. Do we fall? Yes. Amen to that. I'll be honest with you. I fell this week. But that doesn't mean because we fall, we stay down. Just like parents, when we're trying to teach our kids how to walk, what do? We encourage them to get right back up, to keep going, so that they can become better at their walk. Just because you fall in your walk with God does not give us the right to stay down. And I'm going to give us an encouraging thought. And I believe I'm talking to brothers and sisters here in Christ. And if you see a brother or a sister fall down, and I know I said sometimes it's funny when we see kids fall, that's not a time for us to laugh. But Charlie, you know what that's a time for us to do? To encourage them to get right back up and to keep walking. Grab their hand. Pray with them. Encourage them so that their faith will be strengthened. And I encourage you to do those things. And I promise you this, if you're that person that helps them out, your faith will even be increased during that time as well. God has the right to use you because you're his. And all glory to God. And all God's people said, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for your brother James who given us some good truths to live by and to practice. God, we're not always going to be perfect at these things. We're not always going to achieve these things, but God, that doesn't give us the right not to try. And so, God, I pray that if there's anybody here that's struggling this morning with their walk, Lord, I pray that you would continue to be an encouragement to them. Lord, help us to be an encouragement to them as well. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. And count it all joy as we go through those. Patience is one of the fruit of the Spirit that we read about in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 22. But again, in verse number 3, our faith will be tried. So I'm going to try and give you something to help you as we go through that time of testing. Don't allow yourself to become bitter. Don't allow yourself to become angry. But instead, during this process, allow yourself to draw closer to God and allow yourself to be more intimate with Him and allow yourself to have your relationship grow with Him. So don't become bitter, don't become angry, but that's what a lot of people do. God, why'd you do this to me? God, why'd you abandon me? God, why'd you forget about me? Why are you allowing this? Because I am your God, and I have the right to test your faith. With that being said, count it a privilege that God wants to use you. Count it a privilege that He wants to use you. You're His. You're His. Count it all joy. God, I'm your child. Thank you so much for picking me. Thank you so much for allowing me to go through this with you. But I'm going to give you a thought. As you go through those things, reach out to God and ask Him for one thing. God, give me the grace to get through this. Give me the grace to get through this. So don't allow yourself to become bitter. Don't allow yourself to become angry. But allow yourself to learn to grow closer to God during His times. Your patience, because you learn patience, doesn't mean you'll be perfect. It doesn't mean that. This means, however, that you are becoming more of a mature believer in Him. And believe me, every single one of us has room to grow in Christ. Every single one of us has room to become more mature in Him. You've heard it from Pastor himself. Been in the ministry for 48 years here at this church. And he'll tell you from the pulpit, as he has it many times, I don't know everything. I don't know everything. So we all need to grow and mature in Him. What are you saying? Well, what I'm saying is we should want nothing else but God Himself. I have seen people's faith being tested on many different occasions. You got to understand, I grew up in this church. I've been around a long time. I've seen a lot of people grow closer to God, but I've also seen people walk away from God. I've seen people stay faithful to God, growing, staying attentive to church. There are some that I have never seen their faces ever again. They've walked away. Why? Because they decided, I want more. Our desire should be wanting God and only God. And that's where we need to be in our life. Well, as we begin to go on in verse number 5, we see here, I told our class here a couple weeks ago, don't expect to get out of the book of James in the next year. We've only covered a few verses here. So class, pay attention, because next week we'll have a lot of review. So in verse number 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So the words here are not mentioned, but it says if you lack wisdom, it says ask of God. So that is a form of a prayer. Prayer is very helpful during our times of trials and times of our faith being tested. And so as we begin to go through these things, I've had you ask a question, God, what is it that you want me to learn? How do you want me to grow? The second thing is, God's wanting us to have more wisdom during these things. And so a lot of us lack wisdom in areas Because we don't ask for wisdom. I wish this verse would have really hit me when I was a young man going through school. I do, because, again, I'm not the smartest crayon in the pencil box. You'll get that later. But I'm a few fries short of a Happy Meal, if that helps you out any. But anyway, folks, it's okay to laugh a little bit or say amen. But we need to ask for wisdom. What does wisdom do for us? Wisdom gives us the ability to understand that God has a purpose and a plan. That's what wisdom does for us. Gives us a purpose to understand that He has a plan for us. So we need to ask for wisdom. You know what the world's asking for? Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 19. What the world is seeking here is earthly, worldly wisdom. I'm going to show you where we go wrong in this area. Verse number 19 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, "For the wisdom of this world is," say it with me, "foolishness with God. For it is written, He that taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain." The problem that we have with so many folks is they're trying to have the earthly, the worldly wisdom, instead of seeking spiritual, godly wisdom. That's the type of wisdom I believe that James is telling us here in verse number 5 to ask for. Is to ask for heavenly wisdom, spiritual wisdom, not the earthly wisdom. Because what's God say about it? Worldly wisdom is foolishness. Foolishness. So we need to ask God for wisdom as we begin to go through these things. And it'll help us to see it the way God sees it. Wisdom, as we continue to go on, is trusting in God through the trials that we can't comprehend. Again, let me ask you a question. The ones that raised their hands, and I know there's probably more that didn't raise their hands, I get that. But as you went through your trials this past week or past couple weeks, have you comprehended it? Do you understand it? Well, if you don't, here's the answer. Ask God for wisdom to give you the ability to see it the way God sees it. And that's what we need to do in our life. See it the way God sees it. God will grant wisdom to those who ask for it. But we are to ask for it in faith. And as we ask for it in faith, as we read here, verse number 6, it says, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways." We are to ask in faith, and as we ask in faith, do not waver from our faith in him. Again, I can't stress this enough. And I know you've been listening to me for a while now. I can't stress this enough. But we are to grow closer to God during these times. It's not a time for us to walk away. It's not a time for us to put God in the shelf and somewhere in the room that we don't want to touch for the next 20 days or maybe 20 years in some folks' life. Stay true to your faith in God. Some might say, "Well, Chad, I don't know what you're talking about, faith." I'll help you understand that even more the next hour. So when we are waver, we are tossed to and fro. We are to keep our faith. We are to never doubt and not be double-minded. A believer should be stable in his walk with the Lord. Are we always going to be stable? No. but we're going to try to remain stable. The best way I can explain it, as our children are born, they begin to grow up, obviously, we know that. Follow the science on that one. But as our kids are born, they begin to walk. And I don't know if you paid attention to your kids and they're beginning to learn how to walk, but what do you notice about them? They're all wobbly and unstable. And so what we try to do as parents during those times, we try to teach them and help them to become stable in their walk so that they would begin to walk around freely without tripping or falling over there and getting sores and all those things. It's funny to watch these kids as they begin to take off. I've watched it in my own daughter's life. I've watched it in my own nephew's and niece's life. They think they have it, and they think that they come to this place of stability, and they take off, and all of a sudden, they take a dive. I can't help but laugh during those times. It's funny to watch little kids fall, and they now you guys laugh. Thank you. Just wait when you fall. I'm going to laugh. No, it is. It's kind of comical because they don't get hurt normally. Yeah, they get scraped up a little bit, and they start crying all of a sudden, but mom and dad comes over, and they calm them down, and they start right back up again. But we continue to teach them, hey, you need to be stable. Take small steps. Work into it. You know, the Word of God is teaching us to be stable and in our faith. You know, we might be a little wobbly at times, but we are to try every single day to be stable. Stable in our faith. And that's important for us to understand those things. And then I'm going to close here in verse number 9. I'm not even close to getting done here. But we are to keep our eyes on the eternal. It talks about the rich man here. It talks about his desire and what he wants. It's not about, again, seeking the wealth of this world. It's not about seeking the wisdom of this world. We need to keep our eyes on the eternal, and that's God himself. And I hope and pray that this has been helpful for you, and I pray that you'll be able to go back throughout this day and begin to contemplate on the things that were said. But as we close with this, I'm going to say this thought once again. Why is my faith being tested? Why do I go through these trials? Because you're his child. Plain and simple. And he's doing these things to grow us. He's doing those things. I just use the illustration of the baby falling as they try to walk. Do we fall? Yes. Amen to that. I'll be honest with you. I fell this week. But that doesn't mean because we fall, we stay down. Just like parents, when we're trying to teach our kids how to walk, what do? We encourage them to get right back up, to keep going, so that they can become better at their walk. Just because you fall in your walk with God does not give us the right to stay down. And I'm going to give us an encouraging thought. And I believe I'm talking to brothers and sisters here in Christ. And if you see a brother or a sister fall down, and I know I said sometimes it's funny when we see kids fall, that's not a time for us to laugh. But Charlie, you know what that's a time for us to do? To encourage them to get right back up and to keep walking. Grab their hand. Pray with them. Encourage them so that their faith will be strengthened. And I encourage you to do those things. And I promise you this, if you're that person that helps them out, your faith will even be increased during that time as well. God has the right to use you because you're his. And all glory to God. And all God's people said, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for your brother James who given us some good truths to live by and to practice. God, we're not always going to be perfect at these things. We're not always going to achieve these things, but God, that doesn't give us the right not to try. And so, God, I pray that if there's anybody here that's struggling this morning with their walk, Lord, I pray that you would continue to be an encouragement to them. Lord, help us to be an encouragement to them as well. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen.